That's right. Good afternoon, everybody. Hey, I'm Ann Eller right here with you on Meet Me at the Diner. Beautiful day out there, and I have Matt Moore, chairman of the South Carolina GOP. It's hard to believe that we just went through an election cycle, and now we're getting geared up for another one. In fact, he is up for re-election as the South Carolina GOP chairman. How you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. You know, you certainly have broken a lot of records, being the youngest chairman and really bringing the South Carolina GOP a lot more noise, shall we say, in this last year or so.
Well, last year, you're right, was our most successful year in the history of the state party. It's hard to believe. We've been in existence almost 150 years, but yet had our most successful year last year. We are headed into a very important election cycle that's coming up here with the presidential election, not only because of the primary, but also because Tim Scott, our great U.S. Senator, is back on the ballot. And so we're focused on a few things, the first of which is recruiting good candidates. Tim Scott's one of those for U.S. Senate. We're focused on using technology to the best of our ability. We've done a great job with that over the past couple of years. But really, I'm most proud of the grassroots work we've done, especially in this past election cycle, to re-elect good people like Governor Haley and others. We built a preeminent state party organization in terms of our grassroots. So we'll keep doing those things over the next couple of years. I'm excited to be at the helm.
Yeah, you know, you certainly have had a quite a history with working with the GOP, and to now be at its helm has certainly been a good position for you, I think.
It's been a lot of fun. Of course, it's an honor. The state committee and our grassroots make my work possible. They are the front lines of electing good conservative people across the state. We rely on them, so I'm proud to serve them most of all.
Sure. Now, you know, one of the questions I wanted to ask you, though, you know, for the future of the Republican Party, do you think there's a lot of conversation, a lot of noise, they now say out there, between being more conservative or middle of the road? Where do you think the Republican Party is headed?
Well, we've always been a conservative party. I think since our founding, we have shown those conservative principles through all the things that we've supported. You know, a lot of people want to blame Republicans for the country's problems or the state's problems. I think it's, in fact, just the opposite. I think it's the Democrats, the liberals, and the progressives who have destroyed some of the foundations that make this country great. Those are faith, family, economic freedom. So all the policies that we're working towards here in the state, and I hope nationally too, are focused on those things. And I want the most conservative possible person to win the presidency. And, of course, here in South Carolina, we'll put those people through a good test. We'll ask them the tough questions in our backyards, at our churches. It's a pretty unique thing to live in a country where we get to actually meet and talk to the presidential candidates for president. In most countries, it doesn't happen. So it's a pretty unique opportunity for us in the next 13 months or so.
Sure, but are you leaning? Do you believe that we need ultra conservative, or that's why I said more middle of the road conservative? Where do you think that the Republican Party is going to be going?
Well, I want a party that's bold in its conservatism, that not only talks the talk, but walks the walk, that puts forth good policies in Congress, that puts forth good policies at the state level. That's why I've been proud to stand up for companies like Uber and their personal car service, where you can go on your iPhone and get the car to come pick you up. Talk about free markets, the power of free markets, and the power of economic freedom to lift people into better circumstances that people just want a hand up, not a handout. The one thing I've encouraged our elected officials to do is to reach out to people who don't look like them, to reach out to young people, to have a real positive message for what conservatism means for this country. And we know that conservatism works, and it's our job as party leaders and elected officials to sell our policies, to sell our ideas, and that's what I'm hopeful for in this presidential election that's coming up.
Sure. You know, one of the things that I heard, I was watching a special that they were doing on Cuba, and of course the question about should Cuba be, should we restore relations, and what they were talking about in this show is the fact that the older generation believes that they should not be included because they know the horrific things that happen. But the young people, and this was actually people out of Miami, the young people did not have any recollection of anything bad, so they were more open to having relationships with Cuba. And, you know, I thought that was interesting when we look at inclusiveness and progressivism and all these issues that are out there. How do we convince our young people that being more conservative is the way to go?
Well, I think in the case of Cuba, that we have to convince people and make people see that, that opening and normalizing relations with Cuba is about just more than just them having nice beaches and great restaurants.
Sure.
That, in fact, you know, in every situation where we have been promised by countries when we open up trade routes or diplomatic relations, when they promise that they will improve their human rights conditions, they're generally lying. Nothing's improved in China. Nothing's improved in a lot of the dictatorships in communist countries. I think Vietnam is one of them, where we have been promised that things will get better. Now, certainly more people in those countries are living in the middle class, but it's at the point of a bayonet with free speech and with the ability to move around and move freely in the economy and to lead the country.
Sure.
And so we got to be real careful kind of things that we jump into, particularly as it relates to Cuba. And I know that that some have spoken in different directions in the Republican Party. That's okay. But we got to be cautious in dealing with dictators. And I think the U.S. Senate's going to have something to say about the diplomatic budget that's spent there and of course, the Obama administration's relations with Cuba. So we'll see. You know, but you're right. In the bigger picture, we've got to help young conservatives, young activists, and even libertarian Republicans understand that our principles are the principles of freedom, and that we shouldn't be a party that's for cronyism and back scratching. We have to be strong on ethics, and so those are the things that I've encouraged our elected officials to be aware of.
Yeah, I think that's the point I actually was making is that. How do we, when progressive, I guess we should say more than democratic even, the progressive side is so open to everything, how do we convince our younger people to be part of the Republican Party?
Well, I think most young people are looking for economic freedom. They want to move out of their parents' basement. They want good jobs. They want to work. I think that to think anybody wants to sit at home, most people don't want to sit at home. They want a job. Jobs give people dignity. And we can show young people that despite all the promises of the Obama administration and all the promises that Hillary Clinton is going to make as a candidate, that over the past 50 years, that the policies of the progressives and the liberals haven't worked. That, in fact, they've done just the opposite. More people are on assistance. More people are struggling than ever before. And so if we can do a good job of not only explaining that to people, but about being positive, being vision-focused, and being policy-focused in terms of how Republican and conservative policies help the country, we'll be successful. I don't think we'll be successful if we talk negatively continually about the Obama administration or what's already happened. We've got to be talking about what's going to happen if people elect conservatives and Republicans.
Yeah, and I think we definitely, the Republican Party needs to get on this technology bandwagon because it sure did the Democrats well 4 years ago.
That's right. That's right. And one thing that's interesting, I mentioned my efforts to help Uber, the technology company, earlier. That's not just because I like Uber and I use Uber, the car service. It's because I think that South Carolina ought to be a state that welcomes innovators, a state that welcomes entrepreneurs. And if you're afraid, based on the state you live in, to start a country, that's a little bit scary. And so those people have access to states like North Carolina to Georgia. Yeah, I want to be a state that attracts innovators, that attracts entrepreneurs. But you're right. We have closed the technology gap in terms of politics with the Democrats, but there's always more work to be done. It's an arms race, and they're working just as hard as we are to improve their technology, too.
Sure. And, you know, one of the things that there in the presidential election, there was a lot of activity with the South Carolina Tea Party, particularly in Iowa. We had a lot of that. How do we see the Republican strategy shaping up with the Tea Party?
Look, I welcome Tea Party activists into the party. I think most Tea Party activists are good patriotic Americans. If you look at the original definition of Tea Party, it was taxed enough already. You know, people who recognize that the government gets enough of a share of what we make and what we produce already, and that we ought to be seeking policies that lead to a more prosperous and a more economically free America. So I'm hoping that Republicans, Tea Party members, those liberty-leaning people in the Republican Party will work together over the next 13 months to have a real robust debate about what it means to be Republican in South Carolina, who can appeal best to the electorate, and hopefully get the most conservative electable person in the White House in 2016 and beyond.
Yeah, I think that's it seems like Tea Party has become a bad word. I mean, this thing with Howard Dean, his comments on the American Sniper about those are angry Tea Party people that are so much in favor of it. Where did that come from?
Well, I think people, whether they're in a Tea Party, the Republican Party, whatever words you want to use to describe them, most Americans just want the future of the country to be brighter than it is. That we recognize that, as I mentioned, that the Democrats' policies of less economic freedom, less faith, less family, those policies, in fact, have hurt the country. So I think what you see a lot out of Hollywood, particularly in the mainstream media out of New York and Washington, is most of these people have a completely different educational history, a worldview than the traditional Republican. That's okay. It takes two wings to fly. But the condescension of these people makes you sick. And that Hollywood, if they want to make even more money, would do a better job of reaching out to conservatives and the kind of people who go to see movies like American Sniper.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited to see that. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm excited to go.
Right. I understand. Now, one of the other things I wanted to ask you about, Matt, and then we're going to talk a little bit about politics futuristically with the presidential race, but what do you see over the last year as some of your biggest accomplishments? And two, since you're up for re-election, what would you like to accomplish in the future as the chairman of the South Carolina GOP?
What we've accomplished over the past couple of years is building the preeminent state party in the country, both in terms of election results and in all of our operations. We built a huge grassroots staff last year. We had 14 field offices, made over 3 million voter contacts. But more than that, I am really pleased with where we are in technology. We used Facebook and social media last cycle as an incredible platform. We were able to do around 3 million just online hits on Facebook, impressions for Republican candidates and our issues. But going forward, I'm focused on those three things that I mentioned earlier. It's one being a growing Republican Party that's diverse in viewpoints and in its faces, that's conservative in its principles and can elect the next generation of Republicans. Two, we're focused on being a party that's advanced in technology, that uses 21st century tools to ensure those 21st century victories. And so those are really the things that we're focused on. We've got a great positive vision for the state party. Over the next year and a half, our big focus is the primary.
Sure.
And then we'll move on to the U.S. Senate race for Tim Scott's seat. But Steve, they're going to throw everything they have at Senator Scott. They know that he's a rising star in the Republican Party and that he represents all that's good about conservatism and about the Republican Party. And I suspect the Democrats will put up a very tough candidate against him. And let's never forget that in presidential elections, turnout's really high. It'll be about 75% turnout compared to 45 or 50% turnout. So we've got to get our message in front of as many people as possible in the next 2 years, and the presidential election is a good opportunity to do that. And so we'll keep being positive, we'll keep being vision-oriented, and we'll keep trying to build what I think is the best state party in the country.
Well, I think that's great, Matt. Now, how do you think this, were you in Iowa last week?
I went to Iowa last summer.
I haven't been
to Iowa in a while, but I've seen all the speeches.
So what are you thinking? What's the early money? What are you thinking here, Matt? We've got quite a big field here.
You're going to get me in trouble, Ann.
I asked the questions.
Look, I think people sitting at home listening or people in their cars listening ought to be interested in candidates' records of achievement. And what has the candidate done in their time in the U.S. Senate? What have they done in their time in the governor's office? What have they done in their time as a private citizen that merits them being in discussion to be president of the United States? The presidency is the highest and most important office in the world. So we got to take a real tough look at these folks and be real critical, I mean, quite frankly, to see, you know, who's cut out for this, who has not only the right experience, who has the right mindset. And I think what's most important is having the right vision. You can have all the successes in the world and have the right mindset, but if you lack any sort of vision for the office and what it means to be the president and what it means to be an American, I worry for the future of the country. So it's very important not only to ask what they've done, but what are they going to do? And I think we'll have a good debate if that happens.
Well, again, you are first in the South? South Carolina?
We are first in the South. We'll be the first primary after Iowa and New Hampshire in the southern states. And I suspect our grassroots activists will be right there on the front lines asking those tough questions.
How large, okay, if you're not going to tell me who you think, how large a field are we going to end up with here? I mean, we got everybody from Trump talking about jumping in. We got Ben Carson in the wings here. And then we've got our usual suspects, everybody from Romney to Bush. So it looks like it could be a pretty huge field.
It does. You know, last time I think we had either 9 or 10 candidates file.
Right.
And I would think that this time around that the field will be a similar size. It's not going to be a coronation like it is for the Democrats or Hillary Clinton. They have no primary. They're not debating the future of their party and the future of the country. I think that hurts them in the long haul, that Hillary Clinton is staying at home and not getting to sharpen her political skills. But whoever wins, I think our primary process, and it should be over hopefully by early April or mid-April, I think whoever wins our process will be a very, very, very strong candidate. Because they'll have spent the past 6 or 8 months working hand-in-hand with grassroots activists, working on their political skills, their speaking skills, and they'll have a really sharp message come August when we get to the general election.
Well, you know, the only thing that worries me is that we could be wore out with all this. I mean, here it is January, and the field is already jumping. We just went through an election.
Well, I think there are 25 names out there. I don't think all 25 of those people will eventually file for president, but you know, we have a robust debate in the party. I think we're not the Democrats. The Democrats have no debate. And so we're the party of debate, we're the party of ideas, we're the party of trying to figure out what works best for the country. And that's okay. You know, I don't have a problem with that. And I think it excites our grassroots activists to be involved in the process. In South Carolina, if you don't meet a presidential candidate, it's your own fault. They're all over the place. They'll go out and meet them.
Absolutely. It is going to be, being part of a presidential election is pretty exciting. I mean, I look forward to all the conversations and people you get to talk to and all the quirks and seeing all those that almost make it and then those that don't. But it all comes down to a lot of it, doesn't it, though, Matt, is the money.
Well, you know, money is important, but we also shouldn't let Wall Street or Silicon Valley decide who our nominee is. Look, the money is important in terms of building organizations and hiring the right people, because you know the presidency is also about who you surround yourself with, what staff you hire, what their visions are, their skills. You can't do it all yourself. So I'm not just a believer in somebody. I'm not just somebody who thinks that the fundraising matters. Sure, it's important. And sure, you got to do it. And you got to be competitive in terms of what you're raising, because you got to raise a lot of money for the general election.
Sure.
I don't think it's the only thing that matters. I think political skill matters, vision matters, the people you're hiring matters, and the money is not the end-all, be-all of politics.
Well, they sure are going after the money already, though.
Oh, they are. Oh, yeah. Well, money buys TV ads and T-shirts,
right?
And pamphlets and stuff.
Right.
And those are okay.
Those are okay. Well, you know, I tell you what, I really think you're the right person for the job, and I certainly hope that you're going to be able to continue doing such a good job for the Republican Party.
Well, with God's grace, I will be. Thank you, Ann, for the time today. I really appreciate it.
Well, and we'll look forward to maybe at some time you can come sit down in the studio here and we can spend an hour talking about all philosophies of the Republican Party.
I would love to.
All right. Sounds good, Matt. Matt Moore, GOP chairman, and he wants to be it again. Thanks so much for calling in, Matt.
Thanks, Ann. Bye-bye.
All righty. Bye-bye. All right. Well, that was Matt Moore, and yes, he is running for the office, and I tell you what, I think he's done a good job for the Republican Party. And I know he's going to continue to do a good job. He certainly has, I think, maybe found his niche, because he was a large part of different politicians and working in all the offices. So it's good to see that he is he has found a good place to be, and the Republican Party does seem to be alive and well in South Carolina. So here we are. Let's see what the temperature is. It's been a beautiful day out there. What have we got today? Right now, what is the temperature? Well, they say that it is, well, it's been a little while, so it's up around 46, 47 degrees. We're supposed to have a high of 49, looking for a low tonight of 27 degrees. So if you're going to be out tonight, make sure you get that coat with you. Tomorrow, we're looking for some more good weather. Tomorrow is Wednesday. We're going to have a high of 51, low of 30, and plentiful sunshine. Thursday looks like a high of 55, low of 36, and Friday high of 56, low of 28. Saturday looks like about the same. However, on Sunday, what are they at right now? They are still saying about 80% chance of rain, high of 48, low of 41, and the Super Bowl will happen on Sunday. So have you got your party planned? Are you getting with a group? Or what are you doing? Hey, I sure hope you're going to have a good time, whatever you are doing. Certainly hope that you'll tune in tomorrow morning. I'm going to actually give it up here in a moment. Would love for you to take our survey on sharpfacetsgallery.com. We have a survey there. You get a prize if you take the survey. That's right, you sure do. So please check out our survey at Sharp Facets Gallery. We just would like to know, what do you think of our new website rollout? So please check that out. I think you'll have a good time doing it. And check out all the new merchandise that has been posted there.